This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Why do dogs drink out of the toilet? Veterinarian and author Marty Becker joins us on the phone from his office home. Where exactly are you, Marty?
I live in northern Idaho. Remember, what is it, sixth grade when you take geography? And Idaho Panhandle, or the stovepipe, it's squeezed in between Montana and Washington in a vise. It's only 30 miles wide.
Right, right.
So if I'm looking at my house and I go 15 miles to the east, I'm in Montana. 15 miles to the west, I'm in Washington State. And 7 miles to the north, and I'm in Canada.
Now, I have been told that Idaho is one of the most beautiful places in America, but most people don't know that.
It has the largest wilderness area in the continental United States. Not very many people. Funny, there's a Trivial Pursuit question that what state is surrounded by 6 states in a foreign country? So if you want to be smart, that would be, if you go around counterclockwise, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Utah, Wyoming, Montana. There's your 6 states, and then Canada to the north. But it's kind of neat up here, you know, but I'm the, been a veterinarian for 27 years. I'm still a practicing veterinarian, but some of your listeners probably know me as the resident veterinarian on ABC TV's Good Morning America. I filmed a national PBS special last year called The Pet Doctor with Marty Becker. I'm the Universal Press Syndicate pet columnist. But more than that, I'm a lifetime pet lover. I have 2 dogs, 5 cats, bunch of quarter horses here at Almost Heaven Ranch. And also, we live up here in the boonies, so there's not only elk, deer, moose, but the last herd of caribou in the continental United States migrates in and out of Canada right here. There's not just black bears, there's grizzly bears, and we also have... I've seen on our ranch coyotes, bobcats, cougars, and I haven't seen this on the ranch yet, but it's been spotted within a mile of our house. There's a pack of wolves now that's about 13 individuals. So you get the domestic pets, and then we also get to see these wild animals.
Marty Becker's new book is Why Do Dogs Drink Out of the Toilet? The companion book is Do Cats Always Land on Their Feet? And I have to say, I've had the best time with these books. They're just so much fun. These are books you could read anywhere. You just pick it open anywhere, and almost on every page is a question that you think, just by reading the question, you think, well, yeah, I have wondered that very question. Marty, what sparked these books?
Well, you know, we get, as professional communicators in the internet days, you don't get the same questions asked dozens of times. You get the same question asked hundreds of thousands of times sometimes, especially like inappropriate elimination in cats or probably 1,000 times last year about thunderstorm phobias in dogs, or, you know, why won't the dog come when it's called? And why does the dog like to swim but doesn't like to take a bath, and what can we do? So my co-author, Gina Spadafore, and I, we set out to answer these common questions, but we did it a little differently. We interviewed 50 of the world's top experts in medicine and behavior, and I hope I can say this on the air, Coy, but I actually interviewed a guy that was the world's expert on cat penises. This was a veterinary anatomist, and I interviewed a guy that was a world expert on hairballs in cats. And literally, I being a communicator, you have to kind of, you can't, if somebody calls you in the media, like right now I'm getting a lot of calls about Slendrol, you know, the new diet drug that Pfizer has out for dogs, and you can't say, well, just wait a second, I'm going to look this up. You kind of have to have a body of information, you know, but I'm telling you, there was a lot of surprises in here that even being a 27-year veterinarian that I didn't know.
Well, Marty, let's have some fun with this then. We'll talk about, answer some of these questions for the folks and encourage them, of course, to get their own copies of these terrific books. The most obvious question is, Marty, why do dogs drink out of the toilet? And more importantly, should we let them?
Well, we have a little Papillon Poodle Yorkie cross, a Porky Poo named Coyote, sitting right here beside me on the floor. He's got this little friend, Misty Rose, who's a Bichon that comes up and sees him. And let's say Misty Rose is up here to see him, and they're thirsty, and Coyote says, hey, Misty Rose, over there in the kitchen, there's that stagnant bowl of water that's been there since 6 o'clock this morning when my dad woke up. You know what? It tastes a little bit like metal or plastic that this is in, but hey, Misty Rose, cock your ear, and you can hear the sound of running water in this one room in our house where my mom and dad have installed a spring in this house. My mom and dad can't hear that running water, but we can. And even if it's not leaking, it's magically refreshed several times a day, so it's oxygenated, it's cooler water. And that thing has a larger evaporative surface than my bowl that's in the kitchen, so it stays cooler. And also that porcelain, by its very nature, does not impart any taste to the water. So I've got the choice of a spring, or I've got the choice of this stagnant bowl. And contrary to popular belief, most of the chemicals, you know, that you use in these, you know, the things that makes your toilet water blue, they really don't harm pets. You know, it's, you know, if you drink a lot of it might, but it's not really a threat. Sometimes there's things left in the toilet that aren't exactly desirable. So if you don't want your dog in there, just keep the door closed or keep the lid down. I've yet to find a dog that can lift the toilet seat up.
So it's not really dangerous. We really don't have to worry about them hurting themselves or getting sick from this.
Like, I was in New York a week ago today doing a Good Morning America segment, and when I got into town, I got a call from ABC News with this new salmonella they found out with pocket pets, you know, hamsters and stuff. And I was telling them, you know, one out of two people is bitten by a dog by the age of 12. That's a threat. The threat of salmonella from pocket pets, although it is, you know, a potential threat, it's minor. And it's always kind of, I don't want to be a henny-penny vet that always scares everybody about everything, you know. But so that's when I say it's not really a risk to your pet.
The phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you have a question about your pet, for Marty Becker, author, veterinarian, you probably know him from Good Morning America. Marty, let me ask you, why is it, on the same token of dogs drinking out of the toilet, why is it that dogs often go to the litter box if you have a cat in the same house and just have a field day? I mean, we had a dog that I never knew if the cat was using the litter box or not, because the dog would get in there so quick and just vacuum it up.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that's even funnier at the end of this, but, you know, I have a dog myself that goes into the cat box, and some people call it litter box crunchies. My favorite name ever is Kitty Roca, and that takes just a second to kind of figure that one out, but if you know what that looks like, it's definitely Kitty Roca. But for them, you got to remember, here's a dog that will raid a garbage can. Here's an animal that will eat something that's actually putrid. Because for them, you know, that strong smell is actually good, not bad. And when they go to that thing, it's undigested protein. They go back to the scavenger days when they never knew what they were going to get to eat, when they were going to get to eat, how much they were going to get to eat, and they're scavengers. So to them, it's a protein source. It's fragrant, and they see nothing wrong with eating it.
So just let them have at it.
So, you know, if you're really worried about it, you know, use a covered litter box or put it up a place where the dog doesn't have access to it. But here's the part I told you that's even more surprising. You'll have a dog you'll see eat out of a litter box. For us, we go up to take care of our horses, and the dog will go out in the corral and come back with a green grin, if you know what I mean. In the summertime, he'll excavate a gopher he buried about 3 months ago in cash and eat that thing for about an hour. And then he'll stop and lick himself for about 5 minutes, just showing off. And 15 minutes later, I'll be in the house. You give Daddy sugars, Daddy loves you, even though I see it do all this stuff. And the thought of a human licking us, any human licking you would, or licking them, would just absolutely creep you out. So go figure.
Now, should we worry when the dog goes out and does all that and then comes back and jumps up in bed with your kid and then, you know, is licking your child's face?
I would say yes and no. There's the part. Diseases that are transmissible between animals and people are called zoonotic diseases. You think of ringworm. We think of rabies. We remember Ebola virus, mad cow disease, avian influenza, salmonella, all these things. You know, some of those are real threats and some of them are not. The one thing I would tell you to do is to use lifetime, year-round parasite control on all pets, regardless of where you live in the country. It used to be that certain parts of the country had heartworm and internal parasites like roundworms and tapeworms and things, and we would try to time it, you know, after the killing frost, and, you know, as soon as spring started, then we'd stop after the second killing frost in the fall. That's no longer the recommendations of the Companion Animal Parasite Council. They now recommend lifetime year-round parasite control for all pets. So that means indoor pets, outdoor pets, young pets, old pets. And when you give your heartworm medications that you get from your veterinarian, when you use those spot-on products, you know, like Canine Advantix or Frontline Plus, those kill external parasites and internal parasites. Occasionally you need something to supplement them. But if you're treating for heartworm and external parasites every month, you're going to get rid of the internal parasites that could be transmissible via a kiss or hand, you know, hand to fecal contact to oral.
And now I trust you, Marty. Do I have your word that this isn't just some plan for the veterinarians to make more money? Because that, those things are expensive, and to do them year-round versus just in the summer is going to be a lot more money.
No, if you go, actually, your listeners can go to capcvet.org. It's Companion Animal Parasite Council, vet.org. It's a consortium of Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Association of Family Practitioners, which is a human medical society, and veterinarians. So it's not just veterinarians that are recommending this. It's this consortium of human doctors, of government agencies, the Center for Disease Control, and veterinarians. And the reason we're concerned about this, and this will shock some of your listeners, there's 600 children per year in the U.S. that lose eyesight because of what we call visceral larval migrants, and that are these worms that you don't see them. You don't even know that, you know, a child doesn't know they've gotten them, but they're playing with a dog, they're going to a playground, and they come in contact with this egg. The egg gets inside the child, it realizes it's in the wrong host, and it starts migrating, and it has the propensity to end up in the eye. So 600 children per year lose eyesight because of roundworms from pets.
My gosh, that's really scary. Marty Becker is our guest, author, veterinarian. You know him from Good Morning America. His new book is Why Do Dogs Drink Out of the Toilet? One of the funnest, most interesting books that I have seen in a long time. Here's another question out of the book. If a dog licks a wound, will it heal more quickly? We had a cat, that he got a big old scratch on his side, and for the life of me, I could not get that cat to stop licking the wound, and it seemed like it just wouldn't heal because the cat wouldn't stop licking it.
Right. Yeah, I actually answered this question on ABC's 2020 one time. There was a question, is a dog's mouth cleaner than a human's mouth? And remember what I described earlier. If you see what a dog eats, where it licks, what it does, no, their mouth is not cleaner than a human's mouth. But where this came from, often you'll see on a dog that they'll lick a wound and it'll be very pink, and it was thought that they had some kind of antiseptic property to their saliva. But really what it is, their tongue is raspy, and so it's like they surgically debride the wound with their tongue. So instead of a surgeon using a scalpel and cleaning off the dead tissue, they use their tongue, plus the licking stimulates the circulation. So that's why it appears like it's cleaner and heals faster. But actually, as veterinarians, you know, most of your listeners out there have either had a pet with that lampshade we send them home with, or they've seen a pet in a cartoon with a lampshade around its head.
Right.
And the licking is not good because it starts to itch. You know how when you have a wound yourself, well, we can tell ourselves not to itch it, but they'll lick it and they'll end up either infecting it or opening that wound back up.
Marty Becker is our guest. Marty, when we lived in upstate New York near Cooperstown, I had a dog that I would have to go out and walk. And so she would go to the bathroom, and I will tell you, I have never been so cold in my life in the middle of winter when those days are, you know, highs in the mid-20s, and I'm standing out there at night waiting for this dog to go to the bathroom. What can you train a dog so that if he or she will just go to the bathroom on command?
First of all, I have to tell you, I am loving this interview. And you know, the book, Why Do Dogs Drink Out of the Toilet, is on the New York Times bestseller list. So that book, and you know, they're written sassy and irreverent. If you look in the back, you see all the experts. They're authentic answers. And like, you know, you mentioned how surprised you were at some of these answers. They're authentic answers from the world's top thinkers, but they're just written in a fun way. Okay, think of this dog that's going outside. This dog, first of all, they go out to the nearest vertical surface and check what I call checking their pee mail. Now, we've all been on vacation or been over a long weekend, and you come back and you log on to your computer and check your inbox and like, oh, my gosh, how many messages do I have? Well, for a dog, they go out and log on to a tree and check their pee mail. And what they're able to find out, they can find out, you know, when the dog was last here, is it male or female, has it recently exercised, is it pregnant, is it in heat? So it's basically like going out and Googling everybody that's visited that tree. And so then it'd be impolite not to leave a message of your own. So that's why, you know, dogs like to cock their leg, or even some female dogs cock their leg, or little tiny dogs do a handstand, because the higher you put the urine on the vertical surface, the more likely the wind is to pick it and carry it off. It's just, and it's kind of similar to gang colors. You know, if you were doing gang, you don't want to use your spray can in a place where nobody's going to see it. So they do it in a very visible spot. Now, up here in northern Idaho, a high of 29 degrees today, and we've taught our dogs to go on a cue word. So we tell them to be quick, which means to, you know, do their business. But they're in no hurry to do their business because for them, feces is not an act of defecation. It's actually another way to mark territory. So those feces not only have a certain scent on it that's particular to that dog via its anal glands, but it's a visual marker like gang colors or a flag that the Crips are planting there. So they're very careful and deliberate and take their time where they go number two.
How long can a dog, I've gotten home sometimes, and we all have, and you can just, you know your dog is going crazy to get outside and go to the bathroom. How long can a dog hold it?
I just did this Puppies 101 segment last Thursday on Good Morning America, and I told a nationwide audience, it's actually for puppies, it's 1 hour longer than their age in months. So if a dog is 5 months old, it can hold it for 6 hours. So an adult dog, unless till they get really old, they can definitely hold it all day. But if you have a dog that's a diabetic or a dog that has a bladder infection or a dog that's getting older and has some of the what we call canine Alzheimer's, it's actually called canine brain aging, they can hold it all day.
That is amazing. That's a talent is what that is.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Marty Becker, our guest veterinarian, and you know him from Good Morning America. His new book is Why Do Dogs Drink Out of the Toilet? 101 of the Most Perplexing Questions Answered About Canine Conundrums, Medical Mysteries, and Befuddling Behaviors. Marty, it's been a true honor. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, buddy.
Take care.
Bye.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network and at WINA. On Command. That's WINA.com. And sorry, it's not WINA On Command. Glenn, it's WINA On Demand. There you go. That's it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.